Supply Chain Metrics and Reports Roadmap. Here we start with the big picture of why measurement systems are useful and then introduce supply chain metrics. Supply chain metrics are useful when there are sound processes for gathering performance data, analyzing that performance, and then using the data to improve performance. Metric selection and the metric selection framework are also discussed. Measurement system basics. You get what you measure. When designing metrics, it is important to understand that people are motivated to improve what the organization chooses to measure, to ignore, or deprioritize what the organization fails to measure. The second part of this statement references the unintended consequences lurking behind the statement, you get what you measure. To ensure that businesses are getting the results they want while minimizing unintended consequences, organizations often turn to well-established process-oriented measurement models because they are thorough yet not overly complex or cumbersome. One of the more widely accepted and used process-oriented models is the Supply Chain Operations Reference, SCORE Registered Trademark Digital Standard. The basic objectives of any measurement system are as follows. Monitoring. Track actual system performance by observing and gathering data that is relevant to business objectives. Controlling. Compare data to appropriate standards for performance to determine when the system needs modification or attention. Identifying causes and adjusting systems to get back on course or to continuously improve the course. Directing. Develop an understanding of actual human motivation and what incentives motivate people to work toward organizational goals while minimizing unintended consequences. In other words, measurement becomes a tool to enable effective leadership and management of the workforce. Performance measures as a whole should be objective, consistent, and quantified. They should measure at least two parameters, such as a quantity and a time, for example, delivery by a particular day. They also require target values or standards so that the person or organization being measured and the persons. Doing the monitoring and controlling can objectively gauge relative success. They are turned into information by placing them in context and analyzing them. Once this occurs, the right people need to get the information that is relevant to them in the right format. The timing of when the information becomes available is also relevant to the decision. Some communication methods need to be near real time, while others are designed for periodic appraisal. Supply chain management metrics. Measurement and feedback is essential for any supply chain, not only to continuously improve systems for greater efficiency and effectiveness, but also to allow the systems to adapt to change. It is important to select measurements that will give proper incentives to the parties being measured in the areas of customer-focused, financial, and operational metrics for the supply chain. Metrics should cut across functions and organizations in the supply chain to promote collaboration and interdependencies. For example, the finance function is concerned with the cost of various supply chain operations and determines the break-even point when an operation could become profitable. Finance is also involved in monitoring suppliers and customers for financial distress to provide early warning of trouble. Measuring and communicating the performance of the supply chain can provide benefits such as the following. Control of processes and employees. Management or influence over suppliers and customers. Reporting to managers and external sources, for example, financial reporting. Sharing demand information with suppliers and supply information with customers. Communication of expectations and problems. Learning and continuous improvement. Each organization will devise its own set of performance measurements for customer, operational, and financial measures. The following list shows an example of a set of performance metrics one organization uses, many of which are discussed elsewhere, possibly under slightly different names. Percent orders delivered on requested delivery date. Percent orders delivered on promised delivery date. Production schedule performance. Production schedule stability. Forecast accuracy. Forecast bias. Performance to plan. Forecast bias. Tracking signal. Product mix. MAPE mean absolute percentage error. MAD mean absolute deviation. Order fulfillment lead time. Total supply chain cost. Cost of goods sold. COGS. Cash to cash cycle time. Inventory days of supply. Days sales outstanding. Days payables outstanding. Processes for measuring, analyzing, and improving supply chain. All along the supply chain, managers are responsible for measuring results and ensuring that they're on target to meet their functional goals, as well as support the organizational and strategic plans. These plans may involve some form of continuous improvement initiative. Getting these things to move from plans or a project to reality is often a challenge, so change management is often needed. The key processes that supply chain managers need to be able to perform related to measuring, analyzing, and improving the supply chain are gathering performance data, analyzing performance, improving performance. Prerequisites to these processes involve setting measurement system objectives and planning what to measure, determining organizational objectives and how to measure and incentivize their success, selecting metrics that are meaningful and promote desired behavior, yet are feasible and cost-effective to measure. Gathering performance data. The process of gathering performance data involves the following steps. Determining the data to be collected as inputs to chosen metrics. Finding sources for the necessary data, including allowed external sources, for example, reporting agencies, suppliers. Assessing data collection feasibility, for example, for customers/suppliers. Assessing availability, quality, and cooperation levels. Planning and executing data collaboration projects when feasible. Finding alternative data sources, for example, proxies, as needed. Assessing data accuracy impact, for example, distance-based freight rates, might be used unless actual freight rates would significantly improve decisions. Choosing the method of gathering each type of data, for example, manual estimate, manual measurement, automated information system. Determining the method of reporting the data, for example, who, how, what, and when for manual or what events trigger automatic submission. Setting up these processes and systems as needed, for example, using projects. Gathering and submitting data during normal operations. Entering manual data in information systems/tools in the proper format and using controls to minimize data entry errors. Validating data for relevance, reliability, and accuracy, for example, comparative historical data to see if wide discrepancies exist. If so, investigate. Archiving the data in a role-restricted repository, database, for ease of access and reference by appropriate parties. For example, performance data could be shipping and arrival dates, percent completion of a manufacturing process, number of defects, actual costs, and so on. In another example, financial data for suppliers might include information directly from suppliers and or their publicly available financial statements, as well as data from credit reports, bank references, or third-party ratings such as Moody's, Fitch's, S&P Global, or Dun & Bradstreet. Analyzing performance. The process of analyzing performance involves the following steps. Formulating questions that the performance information or model outputs should be able to answer. Turning data, raw observations and measurements, into information. Placing it in context, for example, comparing to baselines, goals, benchmarks, or past results. Using the data as inputs for ratio analysis, formulas, or models. Using the data for comparisons across supply chain organizations to see if there is a net improvement for all. Validating information and tools for relevance, reliability, and accuracy, for example, compare ratios to historical ratios or use historical data in models. Making interpretations, for example, viable options, status, trends, or forecasts. Selecting formats and media appropriate to the information and audience. Preparing reports at predetermined intervals and on request. Presenting reports. Performance information might include shipment status, fill rate, on-time delivery variance, forecasted number of quality rejects, and so on. Reports can take the form of dashboards, regular status reports, updates, recommendations, formal presentations, and so on. Improving performance. The process of improving performance involves the following steps. Accepting feedback from decision makers and supply chain participants. Preparing recommendations for short-term or incremental improvement. Enacting approved short-term or incremental changes. Periodically auditing processes, including the measurement process itself, against strategic or long-term objectives. Preparing recommendations for changes to processes or metrics that better align with strategic or long-term objectives. Preparing recommendations as needed for making continuous improvement become part of the organization's philosophy, for example, Lean Six Sigma. Using change management and or project management to enact strategic or long-term improvements to processes or performance. Selecting metrics related to supply chain strategy, Since it's not feasible to measure and monitor every supply chain goal or activity, managers have to choose a reasonable number of metrics that are related to supply chain strategy. Some of the strategic attributes of supply chains are velocity, visibility, variability, collaboration, trust, customer focus, and flexibility. Other attributes include security, risk management, compliance with all regulations, and environmental excellence with a well-developed, profitable reverse supply chain. Any of these attributes could be woven into strategy, expanded into specific objectives, and subjected to measurement. For instance, if the supply chain strategy were to increase the velocity with which information flows from the end customer back through the chain, objectives would be developed to assess the current state of the system and identify metrics to measure progress toward a specific goal. The key metric might be a measure of the actual velocity of communications. The goal could be to substitute reports from intermediate customers with the direct transfer of data from the point of sale via scanners, barcodes, and the internet. A number of enabling objectives might be put in place for buying equipment, training staff, and so on. This would be a true supply chain metric because the process it measures crosses nodes. What is being measured creates incentives and perhaps unintended consequences. For example, a purchasing agent whose performance is being measured on purchase price variance will work to minimize that variance, but could be motivated to do so in ways that harm other objectives, like buying in bulk to get discounts and always selecting the lowest bidder. The selected metrics would introduce a side effect of increasing inventory and reducing quality. Organizations that use these as the primary purchasing metrics are moving away from cost and toward value for the final customer. While this is a more difficult metric to measure because it requires information from supply chain participants, it produces results that better align with objectives. Often a selection of metrics that are tailored to a specific supply chain is what is needed. For example, inventory turnover and cash-to-cash cycle time might be two of several metrics, and these would promote ordering in wise quantities. They would then be balanced with other metrics such as on-time delivery, purchase price, and total cost to produce a well-rounded incentive system. So how do you select these metrics? One can use trial and error over time, but this can be costly. So many organizations instead use a framework or methodology when designing metrics. Metric selection framework. A framework for helping organizations select the best metrics to use was developed by Griffiths, Cooper, Goldsby, and Kloss in an article titled Aligning Logistics Performance Measures to the Information Needs of the Firm. In this framework oriented toward logistics metrics, there are three areas to focus on when prioritizing metrics. Each is a continuum or range between two opposite forces, competitive basis, responsive versus efficient. Greater responsiveness tends to lower efficiency. Measurement focus, strategic versus operational. Priority can be more towards selecting the best overall strategy, such as total cost of ownership or inefficient daily operations. Measurement frequency, diagnostic versus monitoring. Diagnostic measurements are used to decide between alternatives, while monitoring measurements are used to assess daily performance. The idea is to assess where the organization falls as to its competitive basis and then to determine where each metric falls on each of the second two ranges. Organizations can then select metrics that match their competitive basis. They could also use such a framework to help decide which metrics should be used when they want a strategic focus and which are more appropriate for daily operations management. Once a company determines the metrics to use, these metrics need to be communicated throughout the extended enterprise along with the benefits of achieving them.